The following programming is sponsored by Bishop Mary Enterprises, LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Real. Real. Relaxed. Relaxed. But relevant. But relevant. She's an absolute professional with a homegirl feel. Welcome to the Bishop Mary Show with Bishop Mary Foy Palmer, where she will discuss both religious and secular topics with various guests from all walks of life. So thanks for tuning in to the Bishop Mary Show. And now, here's Bishop Mary.
And good morning, Philadelphia. It's top of the morning to you live here in the studio of WWDB 860 AM. And I am excited. In the studio live with me is my guest co-host, Brother Marcus. He gonna give y'all a wave. We are live on Facebook as well. And, of course, we have one of our candidates live here in the studio, Mr. Andre Carroll. Good morning.
Good morning.
And then, of course, we are being joined by Zoom by the other candidate, Mr. Harris. And we are getting ready to have a conversation. He has another commitment, so we want to get him in and out, and then we're going to bust it up a little bit with Mr. Andre Carroll and everybody. So you need to stay tuned. If you're driving, please be careful. If you're at home and you haven't moved out yet, grab a good cup of coffee, a tea, and a pen. These two gentlemen are running for the special election on tomorrow. And if you live in those areas, you want to hear what they are saying and listen to what they are not saying. But that's Bishop Mary right here. Let's stand by for our PSA.
Hundreds of shooting incidents and multiple victims. Homicides that were senseless, cold, intentional, killing our men, women, and children in the African American communities. The question is, am I my brother or sister's keeper? Have we considered each other as neighbors? We can wait for someone to come in and save us, or we can save ourselves. The violence must end. Do your part.
Enough, gotta work it out, and that is a way for me to introduce our first candidate, Mr. Keith Harris, who is running for the 201st Legislative District in a special election on tomorrow, September the 17th, 2024. So those of you that live in that district, you are supposed to go to the polls. Isn't it amazing that you're getting practice for November the 5th? But we're glad that he's joined us here by Zoom. He has a meeting. It's the only reason he's not here in the studio. But we're glad he decided to join us and for the first time here on the Bishop Mary Show. Good morning, Mr. Harris. How are you?
Good morning, Bishop Palmer. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
It is wonderful to have you, sir. Now, Keith and I kind of go way back. We've crossed paths at least 100,000 times, if not more. He is the man in City Hall. Amen. And now he wants to become the man.
All right.
In the State House. And so why don't you just introduce yourself to the folks so they know who you are and a little bit of background for you. In this way, they can get to know you even better.
Yeah, I'm Keith Harris. I'm a ward leader in the 28th Ward. Also, I'm the deputy registrar of wills in the city of Philadelphia's registrar of wills department. We cover probate, marriage license, marriage records, orphans court, and the archives. We, you know, if you need records, we pull them from the archives. So there's a vast amount of departments that we cover. Also, we have an outreach department also. So I am the deputy registrar of wills there. And I've been in politics. I've been in advocacy in the communities for over 40 years. I'm associated with numerous groups, helping our own daily, the Strawberry Mansion Learning Center, Strawberry Mansion Faith-Based Community. I've been, a consensus person, just being involved with groups to help large amounts of people, and also I help individuals. So I've been involved with a long time. I've been on campaigns, John Street, Daryl Clark, not even Donald Bullock's campaign, so I've been around for a minute.
You sure have. And, of course, as you said, you are currently the deputy registrar of wills under our registrar. And we are looking forward to seeing great things come in that particular department, being able to service people with some of their important family needs, especially when it comes to estates and probates. Why do you want to run for the 195th?
Before I answer that, I want to inject that because it correlates why I want to run also, but No flattery to you. Also, I watched your father as a youth set up videography screens to show the carnage of bullets, like, you know what I mean, the effects of carnage on the body. And it was really graphic, and it really would shake the soul of an individual that would watch that. He would set this up all around the city. But when he came to my neighborhood, so your dad was really an instrumental part of my advocacy in my community. And to directly answer your question, why do I want to become the next legislator in the 195th Legislative District? I believe I could continue the work of Donald Bullock, one. Two, I think I bring a different type of representation. I want to... just not that she wasn't doing it, the youth that's coming up, we can just correlate the older adults with the youth and just explain to them how we had a whole community, a neighborhood. You know, it just wasn't sectors, two blocks here. It was a whole community in different areas of the 195th Legislative District. And I want to combine the district. I want to see what the southern part of the district can, how I can help the northern part of the district and have the northern part of the district understands of the south part of the district, which is the other side of Girard Avenue.
Mm. Absolutely.
That's the south part of the district.
Okay. Well, I have a question for you. This is Brother Marcus. Keith, as you're, you know, everybody knows you around here, you have a commitment to community services and things of that nature. And tell me some of the things that makes you feel like you can change that part of the area where you are in the city that's going to affect the entire, area in which you're in?
Well, it's because I can directly identify with some of the plight of our community, mm-hmm. the drug epidemic. The had four brothers pass away from chemicals, two from cigarettes, two from, wow. Substances. So I understand that part. I can identify with the older adults that want safety, mm-hmm. you know, and so they can walk up and down the street after 6 o'clock or after 7 o'clock. And I think I can bring those groups together. It's some work to do. And also, I want to clean the district up. I see corridors with roughage, like overgrown greenery. I want to see the district more like blight free, not just trash,
right?
But the bridges, say like going to Strawberry Mansion, yeah. over that way, going towards the zoo, and I can bring. I believe I can bring the community together, not just the city, but the community to kind of clean up around where we live at in the 195th Legislative District.
Presently, our mayor has a motto of safest, cleanest, greenest. going on, and it's good to hear you talk.
And I'm a joiner.
I see that. And of course, that effort will be led by your city council person, who is Attorney Jeffrey Young. How are you two going to be able to come into the same vision? Because should you be on the state level, he'll be looking for some resources naturally to come to his district, which covers part of your district as well.
Look, me and Jeffrey are no strangers. We've both worked for Councilman Darrell Clark, former President Darrell Clark. Me as the Sergeant of Arms of City Council, and Jeffrey as his zoning attorney. Me and Jeffrey have a wonderful relationship. I believe me and him are going to be a great nucleus for this district. We're going to put our minds together, you know, and he's a little younger than me. So, you know, I think the district is really going to benefit from our experiences, you know. So I think it's a win-win for the district and also for the Councilmatic district. And he's doing a wonderful job. He's hit the ground running, and he's not new to it, you know, like me. Neither one of us are new to this. So it's not like we just came and ran and we just had epiphany and we was going to run. We've been involved with community government for a long time, and I think the community is really, I think we're both excited.
Absolutely.
And also, you know, let's talk about a little bit of, you know, healthcare and youth development, your experience in that, and in terms of, you know, what you're doing in your area, some of the things that you might have been a part of.
Well, you know, early on in my career, you know, I did I organized community against anti-graffiti. I helped get a Narcotics Anonymous meeting started at North Penn Baptist Church. So they meet every Friday there. So that's opened up to the community to kind of attract them there. You can't promote it. That's one thing. So mental health is going to be a pet peeve of mine. I think since the crack epidemic, it's been kind of no therapy. Mm-hmm. In the community, and now we're still going through the hemorrhaging stages of the crack epidemic. So we have to all understand that we can't get amnesia, what happened to that. Then we had school closings, and then we just had the pandemic. So I think all those things affected us mentally, and nobody's unscathed. You know, some of us have been affected more than the others, you know, but we have to have the hand to reach out to understand our brothers and sisters that's having mental trauma, you know, with all the murders also. I was with the Mothers in Charge. I was invited to their gathering, their first annual picnic, actually, with Dr. Sykes on Lemon Hill. And I got a chance to talk to mothers. I mean, mothers that just lost their children also. Mm-hmm. So that's a trauma that's a part of this mental health also.
So it's safe to say that you're not in politics for the sake of politics. You're really out there in the community working, making a difference. So that's, I think, that's what I believe that everybody needs to know, that you're really out there and trying to make a difference. I'm not saying I should vote for you or not. I'm just trying to put it out there that folks get the real essence of who you are and what
Absolutely.
You do.
He's not a newbie at all to politics. As I said, I've known Keith when he was Sergeant in Arms. And that's going back some years. We won't tell our head because he still has black hair and mine's a little gray. So, you know, just a tad bit older in doing so. So I've heard mental health. I've heard safety, of course. I've heard you talk about the cleaner, which is the safest. And, of course, with cleanliness comes greener. And, of course, let me extend my sympathies to you and the loss of four of your family members.
Yes.
Because it seems as if this drug epidemic, one way or another, has impacted you greatly. And I was thinking to myself, well, if you lost four, mama must have been busy, because it must have been quite a few of you that came through that time here in Philadelphia, where we saw a lot of things that were not necessarily the best exhibition of us. In particular, with our young people. In particular, with our young people. Why is it that we must bridge the gap? You know, I heard you say this early on. between the youth and the seasoned. I don't want to say the old folks.
The no, you said it right, the seasoned folk.
The youth and the seasoned, because we are missing that in our community. Yes, sir, go ahead.
We are. Fortunately, my mother was passed away before I lost three of them. Mm. I lost one. He was 29. My mom still was living, you know, so because I don't think no mother could have stood that. The importance of one aspect of bridging the gap between the youth and the age is illiteracy. Right.
Wow.
So we have to do a better job, one, in educating our youth on our greatness. You know, we had inventors and doctors and people that's had long histories of building this country. So like our Jewish brethren do, they let their youth know about the Holocaust, what happened. It's not only a public education responsibility. I think as Black people, it's important that we, through the churches and the mosques, start to educate our youth on our greatness. So sometimes, you know, because now where the youth see doesn't see any Black ownership in the communities, Harley. Like when we grew up, we see all the stores was owned by us, right?
Yes,
in the Black part of the district, right? So they don't see that. Now, everybody has a right to make a living, but just for consciousness of our youth, that's what we can do as the people that's been around for a while, let our youth know that it's still hope, right? And I do see a resurgence with them. All of it is not just brick and mortar. They're doing like intangibles or social media businesses, right? I do see a resurgence with us. But what I believe, we haven't re-solidified our organizational structures since the crack epidemic. I always mention that because it severely fractured our organizational structures in our communities throughout the country. And that's where we are right now in this pivotal moment to bridge that gap between youth and age, because they are the future. And if we don't do this, then it's going to be on us, because we're the generation that has to bring them along and educate them that you're not separated from us. We're one people. I'm talking about even our white brethren, right, where they're suffering from the opioid epidemic, you know. That's another, that also another part of this equation, you know. So a lot of families are going through trauma, just not from gun violence, but the opioid epidemic also. And I think that's something that we can have a conversation and engage with our young people and let them know they're part of the whole picture.
Well, Mr. Harris, you have given us quite a few good nuggets for us to feast on for those that are living in the 195th district. You are to get to the polls on tomorrow to vote for this candidate, the Democratic candidate for the 195th district, and he is hoping to be able to solidify your vote. In closing, would you give us one of your favorite quotes and then tell us how we can get in touch with you?
Yes, there's a quote that I mimic that I haven't. I read a lot, so I haven't heard anybody say this but one person. So I know this cliche is his and his alone. Lucian Blackwell made a quote. He said, "Can you imagine how much we can get done if nobody worried about who gets the credit?" That's so profound, you know.
Wow.
And also, that's why you asked me what was my favorite song, and that's why I told you the OJs. We're all in this together.
Yes, sir. You hit that on me. That made me go back and wonder. That's when he sees it, folks. Yeah, it has a power. If anyone has not seen it, please go on YouTube and watch the video. It's a wonderful thing that makes us feel really great. How can anyone get in touch with you in case they need to reach out to you for some information, etc.?
Well, I'm not in office yet. I won't be sworn to September 30th. But my email is KeithHarris4PA.com. KeithHarris4PA.com.
All right. So those of you that need to hear, please, those in the 195th district, please, 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 sir, please, ma'am, begin to starting your vote by voting for Mr. Keith Harris, who's running for the 195th legislative district. This is a special election, and it is incumbent that you voice your consent, if so led to do so, for this candidate. We are so grateful you took the time. I know you've got to run and you've got to handle some other business for Election Day, but certainly I thank you for taking your time out, Mr. Keith Harris, and we certainly wish you Godspeed, and hopefully this will not be your last time on the Bishop Mary Show.
Thank you, and I look forward to working with you. I know your wonderful work. You're carrying on the legacy of your father, and thank y'all for inviting me to the show, and how you doing, Andre?
Good morning, Keith. Good to see you.
All right. They may be partners up there. I don't know. Are their seats going to be next to each other? We don't know.
You never know.
We'll
never know.
We'll tell.
Well, thank you so much. Hey, have a great
day. We're going to work together, most definitely.
Make it a great day, Mr. Harris.
Have a great day. So long. That was Mr. Keith Harris, who is Democratic candidate for the 195th Legislative District. In your district tomorrow is a special election. I'm going to be a repeat, because the first time is oops, the second time is I think I got it. Third time is a habit, and you might as well make it a lifetime of casting your vote for those that are running. We're going to get back into our show in just a moment. Please stand by. We have Mr. Andre Carroll here live in the studio. We're going to have a robust conversation about his special election run. Stay tuned. Don't leave the Bishop Mary Show. Well, everyone, you're wondering, what is that sound? That is the smooth sounds of none other than the late and the great, one of the greatest of all times, we're going to call the GOAT, Frankie Beverly. He was Philly born and raised, and we're very proud of him. And he had his last concert here during the Dell, and that place turned out and turned up. I was out of town, but I had a friend of mine that was there. She said it was all the way lit. Mm. You couldn't even see no grass in that spot. I'm telling you, beloved to us. And shortly after retiring, he has done his work and God called him home. A man of faith, a man who prayed before every concert and certainly wanted to be impactful. So we want to take this moment to memorialize and to certainly thank him for his tribute. He is and grew up in the district of our next guest, who we'll be talking to shortly, Representative Andre Crowell. And we'll have him to share his thoughts about Frankie Beverly, his heritage, and his ministry. He's a young man. He may not remember all of us who were utilizing his music to help us at night. We'll leave that alone. But nonetheless, we thank God for Frankie Beverly. And we just got news that Tito Jackson of the Jackson family has passed away last night. And so we extend our hearts and prayers both to the Beverly and Jackson family. We're going to continue with the show here on Bishop Mary Show. Stay right tuned. And we'll be right back with you right after this message.
hundreds of shooting incidents and multiple victims. Homicides that were senseless, cold, intentional, killing our men, women, and children in the African American communities. The question is, am I my brother or sister's keeper? Have we considered each other as neighbors? We can wait for someone to come in and save us, or we can save ourselves. The violence must end. Do your part.
Wonder who he is, but we want to believe that that is, of course, God the Almighty. No matter how bad it is, no matter who you are, what you've done, he still loves you. And that is a way for us to introduce our guest here live in the studio, Mr. Andre Crouch. I'm going to say Andre Crouch.
Crouch.
No, I'm telling you, even after a sip of coffee, my brain is trying to
it's
be
all
fun,
right.
But
it's
all right. Yes, Mr. Andre Crouch, who is running, correcting now, for the 201st District, vacated by Representative Stephen Kinsey, who actually decided to resign and retire and is looking forward to having some younger blood come on in. Why don't you say good morning to us?
Good morning, Bishop, and good morning, Brother Marcus. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Absolutely. Y'all heard the bass tone, so girls, calm down. He's a young man.
Like 5 years old.
Not quite.
Not quite. Plus tax carried on.
We want to give God praise. At this moment, let's do a quick segue into our sports moment with Sports Talk Terry. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. I'm Sports Talk Terry with your Philly Sports Minute. So the Philadelphia Eagles, coming off of that win over Brazil about 10 days ago, have their home opener tonight against the Atlanta Falcons down at the Link. Game starts at 8:15, so if you're heading down to the game, consider different alternate routes or mass transit to get down there. Also, the Philadelphia Phillies have remained red hot, winners of 7 of their last 10, including a series win against the against the Mets in walk-off fashion, as well as wins against
Everything.
And then other news we have. I'm sorry, hello?
Yes, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I may have cut out there. I'm sorry. And in other news, the Flyers getting ready to kick off their season as well as the Sixers. Preseason and training camp are just a few weeks away, so keep your eyes closed on that. That's all that we have right now on our Philly Sports Minute. Make sure you guys follow us on all social media platforms at Sports Talk Terry. We'll see you next Monday.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, son. Have a great day. We're grateful to have our sports moment because y'all know I am all sports Philly. Absolutely. So heed to the heed. Traffic will be insane. The President Biden will be here in town for the HBCU conference. So 95, 76, all of them will be shut down for beginning about 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. He is supposed to speak in town around 5, and then we got to hope he get out of here. But the mass traffic trying to get to the link will have some issues on tonight. So kind of avoid all of that. Unless you really just like sitting and listening to it, because I'm sure the WFIL will be doing its preseason roundup and talk, sports talk, and all of that. So make sure that you do. And we're believing for a win. Amen. Now, back to business at hand. Mr. Andre Carroll. I don't know why I'm having this thing with Crouch. I'm thinking about Andre Crouch only because he always sang a song that I love so much. And Jesus is the answer, so it's all coming back to me. And I'll get back out of the 1970s and the 80s and get up to the 2020s in a minute. But he is here, a young man who has been on the Bishop Mary Show before. And when he was actually running in the primary. And so we're grateful that he is back here live in the studio with us this morning. So would you mind just sharing a little bit of your background with us so that folks can know who you are?
Absolutely. Again, my name is Andre D. Carroll. I am a candidate for the 201st Legislative District, which covers neighborhoods Germantown, Logan, and West Oak Lane. I am born and raised in Germantown. I've been there all my life. I was raised by a single-parent grandmother. My mother's battled with substance abuse since she was 14 years old, and my father's been incarcerated about 95% of my life. Graduated from Germantown High School, attended Temple, so TU.
Yay, teammate. Yeah, so all right.
I've spent the last 10 years in government. I work for the Philadelphia City Comptroller's Office, also the Pennsylvania State Senate. I'm an organizer by trade. Organizer a lot around juvenile justice issues. And now I'm running to represent the community that raised me.
All right.
Wow. Now, if that wasn't an elevator speech, and fine, let me tell you, he did that with just boom. Like, let's hit it.
All he was right. Reading the paper. I saw him.
He ain't got none in front of him. So let me that's committed to memory.
I want to get right down into it because sure. You're coming up from the struggle. Like your grandmother was the one that kind of, you know, took you in and
brought me on from the hospital. In fact,
oh, right from the hospital from the very beginning.
Yes.
And your father was not readily available. You know, as you just mentioned, and your mother, she gone through some things. So, what made you say, "Man, I got to make a difference. I got to really do something different for myself and for other people who look like me." What was that determining moment that made you want to
You know, I think it's a combination of things. You know, I think a big part is the lived experience. I think a big part of also everything that I do is, you know, in honor of my grandmother. I watched my grandmother raise me on union benefits, right? Mm-hmm. I watched my grandmother, you know, help me with my homework in the daytime and then her serve at Hahnemann Hospital as an LPN at night.
Okay. Let me ask you this, because one of the things I like to do is I like to allow the people to get into the personality and the mind of you. So with your father not being there, how does that make you feel towards him?
So me and my father actually has an amazing relationship. I love my father. He's one of my favorite people. My father was a nonviolent offender. My father spent the first 20 years of my life in federal prison for things that we are legalizing today.
Wow.
Yeah. So my father, he called weekly, he wrote letters. Mm-hmm. My father would send, you know, gifts during Christmas. My birthday and Christmas is a week apart. Mm-hmm. I have to share that, but, you know.
No, it is what it is.
It is.
So the reason why I asked that question, because I want a lot of people to understand the authenticity of your character.
Absolutely.
Like, even though you didn't have your mother and father available, but you still didn't have anything against your mother or your father. Your grandmother did all that she could to raise you, to cultivate you in the culture of being a Philadelphian.
Absolutely.
And so now you want to be able to extend that to, for people that didn't have a praying grandmother.
Absolutely. I mean, it's grace and love. The grace and love for my grandmother is what runs through my veins. And that's what continues to allow me to have the ambition and interest in serving other people.
See, and oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Now that you are a young man, and I'm going to guess in your 30s, if I'm accurate.
That boy 25. I'm sorry.
Am I near close?
Yeah, I'm 33.
Oh, okay. Lord. All the right. age that the Christ went. Let me stop.
This is my Jesus.
He ain't trying to be cross. Let's be clear. He's not trying to repeat the crucifixion.
No.
But it is a year of which you have now been doing. Now that you have, as you said, you've worked in the political system. You're familiar with the state house, although on the Senate side, you've done, and you said you're an organizer. What organize events, situations, or change has helped in the district that you live?
Absolutely. So, you know, my work hasn't just been tailored to Germantown. You know, I have an opportunity to work in places like the Philadelphia City Controller's Office, Pennsylvania State Senate. I've had opportunity to work across the city and sometimes outside of the state. Some of the work that I'm deeply, deeply proud of is the work that I've done with the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office. I was on the Youth Aid panel. I've spent time with young folks who are being faced with the opportunity of a six-month contract, you know, and I would be a mentor to them, or facing a criminal background for some of the minor offenses like jumping the turnstile on SEPTA, right? I've also had an opportunity for the last 5 years, every other Thursday for the last 5 years, I have gone up to State Road. I go to our county prisons with an organization called Brotherhood, which is an organization that engages young folks, juveniles, offenders who are being tried as adults.
Wow.
And these are young people who have been removed from our community and forgotten about. And because of my father's incarceration, that's why he's one of my favorite people, because although my father wasn't present in my youth, I learned a lot about not having him, right? I didn't meet my father for the first time until a month shy of my 21st birthday. But that didn't mean we didn't have a relationship.
Right.
I talked to him often.
Yeah,
we communicated. Yeah. I just hadn't physically met the man, right? And now, you know, me and my father, we have, you know, breakfast and lunch and, you know, often. I talk to him almost every day.
Wow.
But through watching him deal with his battle with incarceration deeply inspired me, and I understand what it means to be impacted by the system. Although I don't have a criminal background myself, I am impacted because I lost a father due to the system. So that is something that I carry with me, and through the challenges that I have through my lived experiences, the reason why I have made sure I've thrown myself in the work to afford another family the opportunity to not be as impacted if I could.
No, that makes sense. And this is the reason why we're asking you these types of questions, because we want the people to see that you're not a robot. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely,
I'm in here for
not
the political situation. You're here for the people. You're here for the young people. And as Bishop Mary said earlier, as the other gentleman who was here as well, you know, we need some young people with a whole different perspective, because, you know, getting a little religious, God is still speaking to us in a today generational voice, and he'll believe anybody.
Absolutely.
To get the point across, or that we need to help the next person.
Absolutely.
As a young man, and given your lived experience, what do you think are some of the challenges of young people today?
Wow.
Give us three.
Give us the top three.
How much time do we have, right? You know, what I would say is that, you know, I'm a 90s baby, right? I was born in 91, but, you know, we're talking about what precedes me, right? We're talking about how crack hit Black communities in the 80s. You know, when I was a kid, when I was first born, you had criminal mass incarceration hitting Black communities.
Absolutely.
In the 90s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's folks like myself, the millennials and now Gen Zs, who are, you know, the recipients of these struggles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've also had opportunity in my career to be a substitute teacher, right? So, you know, I've had a chance to see education from both sides. I'm a product of the Philadelphia School District, and I've also been an educator in it. So, you know, education is a huge part, right? Like, we're talking about a state in Pennsylvania where we spend on average $40,000 for an inmate who is not sick. to house inmates in Pennsylvania on average is $40,000. If they are sick, it can cost the state up to about $80,000 a year. But we still only invest around $21,000 a year per student. So we have a system right now that's set up that we incentivize, or we at least tell our young people, you're more valuable in prison than you are sitting in a seat inside of a school, right? So education is a huge part, right? I think, you know, a big part of that, outside of that, is out of school time activities, right? The fact that young people don't have a lot of places to be young people, right? And then we crucify them, I would say, in a way, or we judge them, or misclassify their actions because they don't have those safe spaces, right?
So let me ask you this. So when you were, and the reason why I'm asking again, because I want people to see the authenticity of who, you know, who you are. So when you were a young person growing up in Philadelphia, what are some of the things that you did that were different from what the young people today are doing?
Absolutely. There was a lot of things that I did as a kid, right? You know, the Powell Center, the Police Athletic League, like that was one of my favorite places to go, right? You know, as a kid, I didn't really care for basketball. I played football. You know, Serena Williams is my favorite athlete of all times.
All right.
You know, I'm not afraid, even as a man, I'm not afraid to say that woman is the best athlete I've ever seen. I've never seen the heart of a lion and a champion the way I've seen in Serena. Yeah. So I picked up a racket to play tennis because I watched Serena as a kid. You know, the Powell Center introduced me to things like table tennis, soccer.
I'm a table tennis champ. We're okay. Going to have to play that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when it comes to, like, someone helping me with my homework, the only person outside of my grandmother who helped me in my early days of education was a police officer. Mm. So it gave me a different perception, you know, of how police officers would engage with community. You know, I think that changed over the years as I grew up and became a little taller and a little stronger, how, you know, I got perceived in this country. But, you know, it didn't start that way, is what I will say.
Exactly.
You know, but, you know, also the Boys and Girls Club was another thing, right? You know, also, I was a big, big music fan as a kid. I attended a lot of concerts. It was a safe haven for me. I remember as a kid, I used to call up to 100.3 The Beat. You know, shout out to Pooch and Laiere. They was the host there. You know, I'm sorry. I know we're not on that station. I hope
we're
not
going to get in trouble.
But what I will say is that, like, I was one of those kids that would wanted to be the ninth caller or the 103 caller, whatever call it was, to get some tickets.
I'm still trying on DAS, so, you know, you're the eighth caller.
But what it did was it incentivized you to look forward to things, right? And, you know, at 16 years old, I was begging my grandmother for a particular pair of sneakers. Now I'm meeting 15, 16-year-olds who are deciding where they're going to spend the next 20, 30, 40 years of their life.
Wow. So if you, and we, of course, are hoping that you have passed the primary, you now have to run for the special election due to the resignation. Now, if that all goes well and you are triumphant in November, what are you going to be your top three agenda items as an incoming freshman to the Pennsylvania State House?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the thing that I said, when I ran in a primary earlier this year, you know, I ran off of the lived experience and the connection to the district, right? You know, being born and raised in this district, education, right? We have to fix our education system. If we do not fix our education system, we will continue to lose generations of children, right? Like me as a young person, you know, my experiences that I had a mother and father battling with mass incarceration and substance abuse, right? A lot of these young folks are dealing with the fact that they, unfortunately, have dealt with, lost a parent to gun violence. In some cases, have been a victim of gun violence themselves, if not themselves, maybe a classmate.
Right.
And this is a reality for young people. So, you know, we have to address the gun violence issue, right? And we also have to, a big part of the gun violence issue is also the mental health piece of that.
Absolutely.
Too, which feeds into the healthcare aspect, right? So, you know, all of this is, you know, I believe we can walk and chew bubblegum at the same time. So healthcare has been a huge part of my platform. I've had opportunity earlier in my career to also work in the healthcare space, connecting more seasoned citizens to healthcare resources, but also criminal justice, right? Criminal justice is something I feel deeply, you know, connected to in the fight for liberation of Black folks. You know, unfortunately, goes through prisons. Mm-hmm. And we have to make sure that the folks who go to the other side of the wall are not forgotten about. And that's why I continue, even in the capacity of a candidate prior to, and I look forward to, you know, if I become the representative, you know, still going to the prisons and spending time there and having a chance to have those stories heard and you know, and helping them with their transition back to society, because nobody deserves to die in prison.
I want to openly invite you to come to my class. I've been at SCI Chester Prison nice. Since it opened in 1998. So I've been volunteering there for 28 years. And the men in my class would really, I think, benefit from mm-hmm. the parental side, from a young man like you who would come and say, even though my dad was, this is what he did. Mm-hmm. A lot of them deal with, of course, the baby mama and the drama and all of mm-hmm. that. And so they avoid it. But I teach them that even from behind the bars, you can set an environment that will help your reconciliation to be smoother once you are released. And so I certainly want to open that up to you to come and we can work out those details. I think it's formidable that given what most society would say, you would not mount to anything, if barely something, that you have turned that around. And I want to give a shout out to, you know, as you said, the memory of your grandma, who, mm-hmm. God bless her. That's what our black folk did. Mm-hmm. No baby went into no foster care. You know, if you couldn't get it, somebody down south would do that thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so we find the break of the seasoned and the youth in our family structures that is so prevalent, mm-hmm. that is so necessary, and that it's not that grandma is old, it's that grandma been there, done that, so you need to value that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just having a flashback. I'm thanking God to my parents who made sure I knew my great-grandparents, I knew my grandparents, and that I listened. Of course, I didn't want to die, so I did what they said, because they were, if my parents didn't kill me, they kill me too and say, now, child, this is Abe, I killed her. Y'all all right? And they, yeah, because we come from that era mm-hmm. where you did as you were told. But I want to applaud you for turning your life around with the support of somebody so dear, as your inflection and your reflection is different. How will you be able to, being young, mm-hmm. and most of your colleagues are a few years older.
Seasoned.
Yeah.
Some of them,
God knows it, too long. But as coming in as a freshman and bringing useful perspective, what are some of the things you're going to try to do to correlate the relationship that will ultimately lead the citizens to get better, better support, better resources, because some of them will say, man, just take a seat. You ain't got nothing to say. You're a child. You mm-hmm. know, you got spilt milk still on your lips. You know what I mean? How, and you're not a newbie. So that's a good thing. You can mm-hmm. kind of say, no. I've been around this for a minute. Mm-hmm. How and what will you try to do to forge a relationship, not only within their own party, amen. Mm-hmm. But then those in the Allah across the aisle as a young man.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Thank you for that, Bishop. What I would say is that what you said, one of the things you mentioned in that question is relationships, right? Politics is relational, right? The ability to be able to build relationships is your power to be able to advocate for people. What I'll say is having experience in this space for 10 years has afforded me the opportunity to build relationships on city council and the state house and the state senate. And, you know, and what our mayor always says, it's a governmental, you know, is my opportunity to be able to bring those resources back to the district that I am running to serve. The other thing that I'll say as a young person, I'm not afraid, because when I reflect on history, it's always been young people who have been the forefront of the social movements in this country. When we think about the MLKs, when we think about, you know, Circuit Carmichael, when we think about Bayard Rustin, when we think about even just our city council members, right? They ran as young people, right? Like, you know, one of the, you know, in Uptown, one of the people who was the icon is, you know, Dwight Evans, our congressman, right?
Yes.
He served in his youth. He was around my age when he first became a state representative. Right now, we know him to be a congressman. But, you know, when I knock on doors in Uptown and I'm talking to constituents, you know, the things that they will say, they remember when, you know, Congressman Evans was state rep Evans, and he would shovel their sidewalks. Right? You know, when he would come knock on their door and figure out how he can meet people where they are. So, you know, if it isn't broken, you don't fix it. I've watched young people do it before. It just was a different generation, but that doesn't mean that this generation should shy away from what we've already seen. It's our turn right now to be passed the baton. And, you know, unfortunately, in some cases, sometimes we have to take it. And, you know, and we move forward. But we have to, you know, be a part of this fight to be able to move America forward. But we have to do this together.
I want to ask you this before, you know, before we have to go. How can people get in contact with you? Because, you know, you're about the young people. You're about working with, you know, the people that are in your group and people that are across the aisle. Mm-hmm. How can people get in touch with you if they need some sort of assistance or help or even try to, you know, make things better for the city of Philadelphia?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am running to be the next state representative. So the election is tomorrow. If successful tomorrow, I'll say God willing. You know, it'll take us a few weeks to get inaugurated, and then, you know, we'll set up a district in the office, and then I'll be able to communicate what that address is.
Okay.
What I will say is that, you know, you can reach me by email. The email is team, T-E-A-M, at Andre, D as in David, Carroll, C-A-R-R-O-L-L.com. That is my email. My website is www.andredcarroll.com. In all social media platforms, which includes X, Facebook, and Instagram, it is at Andre D. Carroll as well.
All right, awesome.
Good. I'm glad you're saying that. And believing that all will go well with your special election. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping I'll be able to get there. Amen. By invitation. Amen.
God willing.
God willing, yeah. I haven't been up in the House in quite a few years. And of course, I was the EA to retired House of Representatives, W. Curtis Thomas. So... Mm-hmm. He broke me up in that place. I'm telling you, this
that
you know, he's had it all, and having served 33 years without any repudiation is a testament to him. He was also an educator, came in young, you know, is a lawyer, you know, so forth. So we've been blessed with some great examples in our own African American heritage here in the city of Philadelphia. In closing. Let's say working, of course, now you'll be working with the council person that represents your district, and that is?
My council person is Cindy Bass.
Cindy Bass.
And also Anthony Phillips.
And Anthony. So his district's between the 8th and the 9th. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's going to be working with one of our newbies and one, of course, our seasoned mm-hmm. persons in city council. Absolutely. How will you be able to entwine your relationship with them should you become elected? And what would be one of the first things you would want to do in collaboration with them?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, my approach is I'm willing to work with anybody, right? It be city council, it be my state senator, it be a Republican. I am running to be elected by people to represent people, and I will wake up every single day with them at the forefront of my heart and mind and everything I do to benefit them. It's not about me. I am just, you know, a representative of people, but I am here to be their voice. So what I will say is that if elected, one of the things I would love to do, you know, there's a sense of, like, lack of community, right? And that's because we don't have some of the things that we had as a kid. You know, I spoke of Congressman Evans, I remember back in the day, right? On Ogas Avenue, right? It was a jazz fest, right? That was a huge thing, right? The other day I was looking at some photos from one of the events and people was like on top of the DMV just to get a glimpse of the stage, right? Like mm-hmm. back in those days where we brought entertainment and joy and happiness to the community, right? The Dell is a beautiful place. Love the Dell. Go to the Dell, even myself. Fantasia's my girl. Whenever she comes, I'm at the Dell, right? But, you know, yes. It's nothing like going to the end of your block and having an opportunity to be in your neighborhood, right? And seeing that joy in your own neighborhood. So, you know, I want to look at the district and, you know, to be able to bring back a variation of that kind of joy in the community, whether it be Germantown Day, if it's East Germantown, there's, you know, one of the things often that I think about, there's a young boy who was murdered in the district last year. His name is LJ, LaRon. And he was murdered on his 12th birthday. We lost him. He was on a bike. He was outside. He got in court in a crossfire of two other folks shooting at each other. And I have a good relationship with the family, right? And I think about, like, how do we use unfortunate incidents like this and use his legacy to be able to continue the work in the streets and to, you know, be able to highlight, you know, the issue that we have, but put it in a way that, you know, benefits people, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we've lost a lot as communities, as Black folks, you know, as Philadelphians. And we got to use the things that we lost to improve the quality of life for others.
Absolutely. Well, we're coming down to our last minute. Would you mind sharing your favorite quote?
Absolutely. So I've been on the campaign trail for this Black woman that's about to become the next president of the United States. And one of the things that she said to me that's going to stick with me is, what can be unburdened by what has been? That is my life story. And I appreciate her for offering that to us.
Wow. What has been?
Unburdened.
Unburdened.
What can be?
What can be unburdened?
Unburdened by what has been.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
What can be unburdened
by our Democratic candidate for president, Vice President Kamala Harris. It's almost like Mr. Keefe said something from the late, great Lucian Blackwell. And now we have something contemporary from our current vice president. Well, Andre Carroll, we thank you so much for being here today.
Thank
we
you
appreciate you. Y'all don't know how to reach the man, team at andredcarroll.com. And so we're thankful for being this time here with you. We certainly do wish you well. Now, those of you in the 201st, y'all know how to do this. Y'all send Kenzie back, because y'all vote. Now send Carol. Don't break the cycle. Keep on doing the same thing, and we'll be the better for it. Well, I want to thank my co-host, my guest co-host, Brother Marcus. He may be popping in a little bit more as we go into our political season of interviewing candidates and those that want to be able to share their platform with you. And we certainly are hoping, and our prayers will continue to pray for the Beverly family and, of course, the Jackson family. And then, of course, I was thinking about James Earl Jones. I loved that man. Any movie he was in, I watched. Any show and play. And so we want to also extend our heart for something. We've lost some formidable people, but know that life is precious, so enjoy it while you can and enjoy the presence of others. Now listen, until next time, remember what Bishop Mary says. If you can't be good, boo, be careful. If you can't be careful, darling, don't do it. It may not be worth it. Thanks so much for joining us today. We'll see you next week for another wonderful show here on the Bishop Mary Show. Be well and be safe.
Already. Thanks for tuning in to another dynamic show with Bishop Mary. To contact Bishop Mary, call 833-722-4748. That's 833-722-4748. And she'll get right back to you. Remember, let the healing begin with you. See you next week for another great time together on the Bishop Mary Show.